Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. 14.
Oh, Our Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning you brought us to. We thank you for bringing the Zaskowski family to us safely. And we just pray that they would be a blessing to us today. And that we would be a blessing back to them. And Lord, we pray that everything we do would honor and glorify you. And we pray that you would bless our time around the Lord's table later on. That it would be a good time of reflection on what you've done for us. And a good time for us to get our own hearts right with you. We just pray that you bless the time this morning, bless the fellowship of one another, and we pray for those who aren't able to be here for sickness, for whatever reason. We pray that you be with them today, and we'll draw them closer to yourself in whatever situation they're in. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We want to welcome, as Jason just said, the Zaskowski family here. Welcome. Really glad to have you with us today. And why don't you take just a couple of minutes and introduce your family? Because I'm going to miss somebody's name. So if you would take just a moment to do that, I would appreciate it.
Really glad to be here with all of you folks this morning. My name is David.
And I'm the assistant pastor over at Emmanuel Baptist Temple. This is my wife, Christy, here. We've been married for 16 years. And Lord has blessed us with three wonderful children. This here is David Michael. He only gets called that if he's in trouble. So his name is Michael. That's what he goes by. And then this is Jordan here. And then our youngest member is Zoe. And a little interesting fact about their name. When he was being born, I wanted to have a son named after me. And she said, well, you know, I've worked in the medical field, and it could be really tricky with all the medical records and stuff, and they're going to get things confused all the time, and they're going to say that he's you and you're him. So we added an extra name in there for him. So he's David Michael Keith Zaskowski. But what was really neat is we wanted him to have a little connection with his brother. So we said, you know, maybe it would be helpful if he helped us pick a name for him, because we had several we were choosing from. And he really liked our youth pastor at our church. He had really no experience with him, except the youth pastor was always friendly and kind to him. And, you know, when you're friendly and kind to people, it makes a big impact on their life. So he's like, I want to call my little brother Jordan. So they became Michael Jordan, no relation to the basketball player. So, and then we let him do the same thing with Zoe. Her name almost was Ziva, a Jewish name. But he liked Zoe, and he kept calling her Zoe when Christy was expecting her, and so that became her name as well. So,
appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. So I don't have any major announcements for this service, so we'll sing a couple more songs here. let's go to number 153. We'll sing a couple of children's favorites. Deep and Wide, 153. Sing Lydia's favorite, 157, Walled Away, 157.
And flow, hallelujah, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away.
We do have one birthday. Well, there are two, but Brother Carl Bush is not with us today. He might have already had his surgery. I think it was this last Thursday. So pray for him. He had to have surgery on his shoulder. He's been having more issues with that. So he also had to have carpal tunnel surgery too. They did both at the same time. So pray for him. And maybe this next Sunday I'll remember to bring a card along. We can send him a greeting. I neglected to do that this week. Sorry about that. All right. The other one is here, and that's Caleb. And let's see, you're 12? Or will be? Will be 12 on Thursday this week, right? Okay, good. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right, very good. Well, at this point, our two children's classes can now be dismissed. While they are being dismissed, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We'll go over our memory verses that we're learning here. I was reminded that it would be good to do one verse at a time and not both at the same time. So we're going to just concentrate on 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. We'll move on to verse 3 in a week or so after we have a little more time to learn it. 2 Samuel chapter 23, as we noted last time, this is right at the end of David's life, and he's reminding the children of Israel and particularly his son Solomon, who's going to follow him, what kind of ruler does God want? And so I'll actually read verses 2 and 3 together so we get the whole context here, but we're going to say together just verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So, by the way, anybody who has any kind of responsibility where they're in charge of somebody, these verses are for you. So anyway, and I think I can speak for the rest of our search committee here. We're trying to do this the best that we can. We're not rulers. We've just been given a charge, a responsibility to lead this church the best that we can until God provides us with a new pastor. And so we're doing that the best that we can. All right, so let's say verse 2 together. 2 Samuel 23, 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. All right. Brother Ziskowski, we'll turn it over to you now. And again, welcome.
Excited to be with all you folks here this morning. I had to turn off my phone. The responsibilities that I have at the church are dealing with all of the children from age 0 all the way up through 6th grade and help out in the bus ministry and all kinds of stuff. So they know that I'm gone this weekend, but sometimes people forget, and my phone sometimes gets lit up. And hundreds of questions and people saying I can't make it or something going on. So I've got that off there. I wanted to talk to you this morning about something really special and dear to me. I want to talk to you about relationships, and especially relationship with the Lord. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. And in thinking about this, relationships are very important. I think we'd all agree with that. And it takes time, effort, and energy to build relationships. And once a relationship is squandered or hurt, it does take a while to rebuild one of those. And just thinking back in my own life, sometimes you don't even realize you're building a relationship with a person just by being friendly and being kind to them. One of these men was named Derek, where I used to work at Circuit City. And how many of you remember Circuit City? Yes. One of those stores has gone by the way of the dinosaur. I loved working there. It was just a fun place to be. But there was this man by the name Derek. There was an older gentleman, and I was probably 22, freshly married, had gone in there. They didn't really want to hire me because I was pastoring the church at the time, and I couldn't work weekends. And I told them that I wasn't able to, but I'd be happy to work any other time they wanted me to, Monday through Friday, except on Wednesday night for church. And I said, hey, look, put me at the bottom rung of the pay scale, whatever you need me to do to be able to be employed here. And he said, sure, we'll hire you. And they hired me part-time. And I would always talk to Derek there. He was one of those guys that had been there pretty much all of his life. He had gone through all the transitions of Circuit City. And when the holiday season was over, I was surprised that they had offered me a full-time position, because that was very rare for them to offer full-time positions. But come to find out, my friend Derek that I had talked to, he was at the position in his life where he was ready to slow down and retire. And he considered me one of his friends at work, and I considered him one of my friends. But he said, hey, Dave, I told him that I'd be willing to step down from full-time if they'd be willing to give it to you. And it's just amazing to me how relationships and lives, sometimes you don't realize that you're building them, but you are. Here we have in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this morning here, God, the opportunity we have to just be in your word and study, and we pray, God, that your spirit will just speak to our hearts now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see that men, all men, have a relationship with God. He is the creator of all things, that man is part of that creation. And we see here that God, when he forms man in his own image. And I know there's some people that like to debate whether or not that man actually looks like God or not, but I believe he does. I believe when he said image here, he was talking about made in not only just his likeness, but his actual type of appearance. And you think about us being similar to how God looks. And it's so much easier to relate to people that have similarities to us. I think about some of my friends at my job, my ministry where I'm at. There are some people that I just easily can relate to because we have similar interests in life. And God created us very similar to him. So when Adam and Eve, they were talking with God, it was very easy for them to relate to him. They look similar. We see about likeness there. I think about a pattern that God created Adam and Eve in, a pattern to want to desire a relationship. You think about people in the world, all over the world. There is atheists out there, but I almost question my whether there is a true atheist where they are just maybe pushing down that need in their own heart to have a relationship with a higher being. But you look across the world, people worship many types of gods that are out there. They're trying to fill a void in their life, a hunger in their life. And we look, that's how God created us. He created us with this pattern, this desire to commune with him. And so here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. We see here that we are the apple of God's eye, that God patterned us after him, that God made us a triune being, a body, a soul, and a spirit, that our DNA code was formed from the dust of the earth. And even though we've sinned and we go back to the dust, we still desire this relationship with God. We desire to know God better, to know just our Creator. And so as we look at this here, we see that man is very special. In creation, he's the only one that was given a living soul. He was the only one that Christ died for. I mean, Christ did not die for any other creature that was out there. Even the angels that fell, he didn't die for them. He died for man. God wants this relationship with us. We're the apple of God's eye. If you think about in your life, the special people that you have, the people that you hold dear, that those relationships are so important, so valuable to you, that you would hate to hurt them in any way. You think about our relationship with God. That's how God views our relationship. God doesn't want that relationship hindered. He wants to have open access with us. He wanted to have open access with Adam and Eve here. And so here, Adam was created in innocence, and with this ability that he had sinned, he broke that relationship. Can you imagine a world with no sin? Imagine a world that complete innocence, where we just had open access to God, just like that. I mean, now we have open access with prayer and stuff, but I mean, think about Adam and Eve. They walked in the garden with God, and we look forward to that day, one day, when we'll be in heaven with God and have a newer type of experience with Him. But can you imagine what that world was like? Think about the relationship they had before man fell, that he enjoyed this intellectual and social relationship with God. Can you imagine the things that they talked about, the things that they actually discussed, and just how wonderful that was? If we look here and we see that God had created man this way, He had created man with the want to communicate with Him and given man that same desire, that man stands alone in this. Think about just the creation for a second of man. If we were to look at the Bible here and seeing how God took that specific time to actually form man, breathe into his breath, his nostrils the breath of life, we see that man is created physically different from all the animals that are in the world. I mean, people try to say that we've evolved from animals, that we're from some monkey, from some tadpole that climbed out of some slime somewhere. That's just not the case. I mean, you think about how God created us, but we're the only being here on the earth that walks completely upright. All other animals, even though some that walk on two legs, they don't do it all the time. Think about how man has intellect, that man has the ability to like communicate with one another and with God. Mentally, we're superior. Spiritually, God says that we're a living soul. We're the only thing that lasts and lives forever. And we see here that in creation, God designed us to bring pleasure to Him. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Most people are looking for the meaning of life, aren't they? They're searching for what is life all about? What is my purpose here? And I know that God has created people to do different things. But if we were to boil down, I mean, everything that life was about and the purpose that we're here, and why God has us here, I think Revelation chapter 4 would actually answer that. You have to forgive me here. I've got a new Bible that I'm trying to break in, so some of my pages are sticking. So I should have brought my old one. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things." Man would be included in that. "And for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So our ultimate purpose in this life is to bring pleasure to God, enjoyment to God. And one of those ways that God gets enjoyment from us is through our relationship with Him. Think about the relationships that you have and the enjoyment that you get from them. I've got my wife here. I love my wife, the best friend that I have, and I enjoy the relationship that we have. I would not want to do anything to hinder or hurt that relationship. I think about friendships that I have with like my neighbor and people at work and some of my best friends. I think about the enjoyment that I get just spending time with them. We just went on a senior trip where we actually took six guys that were graduating this year. Some of them I've known for 10 years. I actually taught them when they were in third grade. Imagine that. I started out with them in third grade and now they're graduating this year. Makes me feel old. But we got to spend 3 days with them and I got to know them a little bit better. And just being with them and building that relationship was an enjoyment. Just to see some of the just goofy little quirks that they have. And just to be open in that relationship. And think about our relationship with God, that God wants us to be open with Him. So from this time here, Adam and Eve did bring pleasure to God. They enjoyed the voice of the Lord while walking in the garden. We don't know how long that span of time was. We can say that it was probably a short span of time because Adam and Eve didn't have any kids. And I know that after the curse was placed, that God said that they would have kids more easily. But even in the Bible, it took 30 or 40 years, if you were to study through the genealogies, for people to have kids back in this day. And so you think at least maybe 50 years or less, maybe 100 years or less. We don't know. It could have been short. It could have been 1 week. We don't know. The God doesn't tell us that. But for however long they had this time, they enjoyed it with the Lord. In the spiritual relationship, we see it was a spiritual relationship. We see it was one where they talked with the Lord openly. But God gave them a choice. God gave them a choice. What was that choice? The choice was to either choose God and a relationship with God, or to choose themselves and what they desired and what they wanted. And I think that's the case in any relationship in life, isn't it? You think about our friendships, our relationship with our spouse, and most times when fighting happens is when we don't want to die to self. We want what we want, or we say, man, I just don't want to be inconvenienced. And with the Lord here, he gave them this choice between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then a tree of life. It represented everlasting life. It represented that, you know, once they had that, they had this relationship that would be unbroken with God. And here, Adam and Eve did fully understand what was going on. They understood that if they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die, that their relationship with God would be broken. I don't know if they understood that part to the full extent, but they did understand there was the penalty of death, that there was this loom hanging over them if they chose this. And so here, Adam and Eve, they were tempted by this, but they weren't tempted by God. They were tempted by the choice that was presented there. The Bible says in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So here was their choice. They had to choose to love and obey God. Now, God could have made them like robots, couldn't he? He could have said, you know what? Here's Adam and Eve. I'm going to program you to love me, to worship me, to follow me. But is that really love then? I mean, I don't think anybody would want a relationship like that where somebody was forced to like them. Can you imagine? They've made movies and they've made, I can't think of any off the top of my head, and they've made books where the story goes where somebody is like paid to be somebody's friend, you know, or they're talked into it like, oh, this person needs a friend. You need to go do this. And then that person finds out. And then that person gets angry because they're like, well, do you really want to be my friend? Is this your choice? And that's how God wants it to be. God wants it to be our choice. He wanted Adam and Eve to make this choice to love him. See, love is voluntary. Loyalty is voluntary. Fellowship, it's voluntary. Service, the expression of our love for God. I mean, we're not forced to serve God. It's not like God says, you've got to serve me. No. God says, I want you to serve me. There's things I would like you to do, but God wants it done out of love. He doesn't want it done out of forced commitment. Sometimes we feel compelled as Christians to serve God because of what other people will think. And, you know, I can't say that that's necessarily wrong, because sometimes that drives us, but that shouldn't be the motivator all the time in our life. I mean, the motivator should be our love for Christ. The fellowship that we have, it shouldn't be like, oh man, what's my spouse going to think? What's somebody else going to think? Oh man, I've got to do that. The desire just to know God, to just commune with him. All out of choice, voluntarily. So while man is clearly commanded to love the Lord his God, he's commanded to do this with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. You think about back there in Exodus, when the Lord was giving all of the Israelites their commands. Even in the New Testament, when somebody came and tried to trick Jesus, and they said, well, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus? What is the greatest commandment? And they were trying to get Jesus, weren't they? And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. What was he saying? With all thy being, right? With everything that's within us. Why does God want this? Why does God want this? Because it brings pleasure to him. It brings pleasure. We see back in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 22 through 24 that Adam and Eve, they had to be put out of the garden once they sinned. Once this relationship with God was broken and they chose not to love and obey God, they chose themselves, they chose their own way, they chose this knowledge. Why did God have to kick them out of the garden? Because of that tree of life that was there. And God did this to actually protect man in a way. And we'll go into that for a second here. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 22, now I have some of these printed on my page here, save some time and whatnot. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, let me turn back there. I like having it in front of me too. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22 through 24, it says this. If we skip down, it says, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. And this is the Lord speaking here amongst himself, amongst the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus speaking. And they're talking about this. And they said, look, if we don't kick man out of the garden, he's going to take you the tree of life and eat. And think about this with me here. We say, well, would that be so bad? Would that be so bad if somebody ate from the tree of life and got to live forever in a sinful, wicked condition? Well, I would say so. I mean, this is part of God's punishment. He said that death would happen. So as part of this punishment, you know, we have the spiritual death, we have a physical death. And so God had to do this to be righteous and holy. But think about this, the protection. Imagine a world, a sinful world without death. Imagine men like Adolf Hitler not being able to be killed. What would we do with them? If we could stop them, right? Imagine just locking somebody away forever in a cell somewhere. I mean, that would be terrible. That'd be horrendous. It'd be horrible. I mean, even though he committed all those atrocities, but think about us, you know, doing that to him. You think about just life with all this disease and pain and sorrow and suffering, and then you're not able to die. I mean, there's been people that have been ravaged with cancer and other diseases, and they find comfort when they get to pass on into glory. I think about my grandfather. My great-grandfather, I did not get to meet him. He passed before I was born. But my dad tells me a story that he had stomach cancer, and my dad was there. And this was before they had morphine and some of the stuff to help with the pain. And it's still etched into his mind, the pain and the agony that man went through, and the screaming in the night just begging to have relief. Can you imagine a world like that where there is no death? There is, you know, it just stuck like that. Part of God's protection for us. We see here that the tree of life will have a part in the future in Revelation chapter 2. We won't go there for time's sake. But here it is that God said that they'll get to eat from the tree of life. It's in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 22 verses 1 and 2 talk about the tree of life again. And even in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, it talks about the tree of life. So God has this plan for the tree of life in the future, part of heaven, part of living forever with our relationship with him. So let's talk about this destroyed relationship. So here they are. They no longer can fellowship with God as they did before. Sin is the great separator between us and God. God wants this relationship with us. Adam and Eve, he wanted that relationship with them. But the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 that it was man that first broke off that relationship with God. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So you can imagine, here Adam and Eve are, they just ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They realize that they're naked. They clothe themselves. They're in the garden here, and then they hear God's voice. And then there's that gut feeling, that beating of the heart, like, oh no, oh no, he's here, what have we done? And they go and hide themselves. They hid from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. You know, you think about little kids when they know that they've been caught or they hear mom and dad coming. I remember one time my mom said this, and it's kind of funny. I have to tell a little bit on my mom here. She would tell me as a boy not to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She said they were too violent. Now, you have to understand that my parents, my mom grew up in a Christian home. My dad did not. My dad had many different backgrounds. He actually was raised Catholic and based a lot of his salvation on works. His dad would also, my grandfather, would send him to the Pentecostal church sometimes or the Baptist church. So he had a big mix of religious background. He did get saved when he was 12, but he didn't start attending church until he was a lot older. And I just remember this, that when we were growing up watching movies, we would watch a lot of action movies that had a lot of violence in them. As a kid, I look back, you know, and I'm thinking, I would never let my son watch any of these. I don't even watch them myself now, some of these. But thinking about how my mom would not let me watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles compared to some of the other things that I was allowed to watch. But I remember one time I was flipping through the stations upstairs in their room, and I came across Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm like, ooh, Michelangelo's eating some pizza, and he's about to fight some bad guys. You know, I'm like thinking, I'll just push the button in just a second here. I mean, mom can't blame me if I'm like, you know, flipping through the stations, and it happened to be on one of the stations I was flipping through. And my older brother was visiting, my older stepbrother, and he came up the stairs behind me, and I was like, and he's like, Dave, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, you know, watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, he kind of laughed at me. But that fear, when you know that you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing and the authority is coming, here, God was coming. They realized the sin that they had committed. They realized that fellowship was actually broken. And we see here that God didn't want it to be this way, that God had a plan of redemption. You think about it. Before the foundation of the world, God knew what he was going to do. He wasn't taken by surprise. He was like, oh, man. No, that wasn't the case. It was like, oh, I don't know what to do. No, God knew. God in his infinite knowledge knew what he was going to do. There was a plan set in place. We see that this plan was also promised to Adam and to Eve. After they fell, I mean, God judged them. God placed judgment on Adam. He said, you're going to have to till the ground. He told Eve, look, you're going to have sorrow and bearing children, and your desire is going to be your husband. And he cursed the serpent. But then he promised a Savior. He promised that one day that Savior would come and crush the head of the serpent, and that serpent would bruise his heel. There was a promise there. We see that not only there was a promise, but it was pictured throughout the Old Testament. There is this wonderful video that we showed the children in junior church, and it told the entire story of the Bible in 5 minutes. I mean, just amazing. I'll have to share the link with you guys. It was just amazing to see this. I didn't think it could be done. I mean, 5 minutes to share the whole Bible, but this man wrapped it up nicely and talked about the pictures of all the sacrifices, the pictures of the tabernacle, just pictures throughout history of the Bible about this promised Messiah. And then the prophecies. Think about all the prophecies from the prophets that talked about this plan of redemption, this restored relationship that God wanted to have. And then finally, when Jesus came, the payment for our sin, how he paid for our sins on that cruel, rugged cross. And then he allowed the fellowship to be restored. Think about when he was on that cross and the picture of the tabernacle there and that veil and how it hung there between the holy place and the holy of holies, blocking access to God, the presence of God. But when he died, that earth shook and that veil ripped in twain, signifying that access was now granted, that relationship was now restored. What a wonderful day. So when we talk about relationship with the Lord, what are we talking about? Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? See, when we're walking, we're thinking about going to a certain place, aren't we? If I'm walking with my friend, we've got a destination in mind, and we've agreed on that destination. And it takes time. When you're walking, you're not running, you're not jogging, you're taking that time to walk with the person. One of the things my dad loves to do is he loves to walk. Some of the fondest memories I have of my dad is walking around a place called the Paint Works in New Jersey, walking along these trails by the Berlin Flea Market, walking the mall. It sounds kind of strange, but my dad loved to walk the mall. And he wasn't even like an older person at the time. He just loved to walk. And I loved the time walking with my dad because we would talk. Sometimes we wouldn't even talk. Sometimes it was just being with my dad. But when you think about walking, it's time spent together. Time with God is part of that fellowship, part of that relationship that we're looking for. Think about talking. It's clear that Adam heard God's voice in the garden, that he talked with him, that he communicated with him. And part of our relationship with the Lord, building that relationship, is talking with him. Talking with him, communicating with him, and not just talking at God. There's a lot of us that sometimes do that. I'm guilty of that in my life, where I'm just talking at the Lord and not really communicating with him. And God wants us to have that relationship with him where we're willing to talk, and sometimes we're willing just to listen. Not that God's going to speak audibly to us, but he'll speak to our heart. He'll bring things to our mind. He'll bring Bible verses to us. Sometimes he'll convict us of things that we need to get right in our life. Think about loving. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal life. It's a relationship of love. I think about acts of affection. You know, they talk about different love languages, and you can think about walking as the time aspect. Some people relate very well to the time that you spend with them. Talking, I think about fellowship. Some people just love to talk. They just love sitting there. I mean, you can sit down with somebody with a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and that means the world to them. I mean, you could have given them $1 million, but that wouldn't mean as much as sitting there. I mean, my mom, she would just love it all the time if I just call her all the time. I mean, I could send her flowers every day, but it wouldn't mean as much as a 5-minute phone call. Each person's love language is different. And here with God, the acts of affection, showing him that we love him because we're obeying him, because we're trying to serve him. And that goes into the next thing, serving. Psalms 100, verses 2 through 4 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. God loves joyfulness, doesn't he? Isn't it nice to be around people that are joyful? And just serving God in gladness and getting that joy from the Lord. There's something about wanting to serve the Lord and finding joy in that. One of the things that I love, and some people ask me why I love working with kids, is because they are just so joyous. They are so excited. They just love God. They love singing the songs. You could tell them a Bible story. They've heard it 100 times, and they'll be sitting there on the edge of their seat just wanting to hear it again. They can never get enough of David and Goliath. It's just neat to me. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And in blessing his name would be praise. Praise, words of affirmation. How many times do we love praise? Somebody says, oh, thank you for doing that for me. Oh man, you did a great job. I mean, I teach school. I actually work with junior hires. I've worked with third graders and fifth graders and stuff. And you could bring something into class and the kids will love that. But words of affirmation, they lighten up their life just as much. I mean, you can go over to them and say, man, that is just so amazing. Your penmanship is just unbelievable. And they're just, I mean, they're grinning from ear to ear. They're thinking, wow, my teacher recognized me. And you know, God doesn't need words of affirmation because he's God, but he does love to hear our praise about him. He loves his people singing it forth. And you know, when we do that, it helps us just to be closer to God, helps us to realize how good God is. It kind of helps to melt all of the bad things that are going on in the world for a time being and just focus on the goodness of God. And then lastly, glorifying. Glorifying. Our relationship with God should be one that glorifies him. We not only do all the things for the glory of God, but we give glory to God in all the things that we do. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. God wants us to kind of be his trophy, that our life is giving glory to him in what we say, what we think, what we do, kind of as a beacon to the world around us of the testimony of what God has done in our life and is doing in our life. And so as we look at this here, I'm just encouraged myself just to build on my relationship with God. Yes, I know I'm God's child, but I want to have a stronger relationship with God. And that just comes on a daily basis. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's pray. Dear Father, we're so thankful for today, God. Just so thankful for the opportunity we have this relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that if somebody in this room has not experienced that relationship yet, God, they've not asked you for your forgiveness and for your gift of salvation, that today they'll find that, God. They'll find the peace and the joy that brings and just the love that's there. And we just pray now, God, this in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ralph.